World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. Good morning. It is the 29th day of July, 2026. The Lord's not making another one. And boy, I come with you to you today with my mom always called me the cockeyed optimist. My whole life, we were either up or getting up. We were either scoring a touchdown or getting ready to score a touchdown. It's just kind of been the nature of my life. And we know that scripture tells us that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now it says not all things are good. Doesn't say all things are good. And the truth is a lot of us get manipulated because they've taught us in this name it, claim it culture in which we live that God is just sitting up there in that throne. Jesus in particular, just sitting up in that throne waiting to bless you. He just loves you so much, and he wants to make you healthy and wealthy and wise. We saw the explosion of what we would call jellyfish. I call jellyfish Christianity in what would have been, the late 80s, early 90s with satellite TV and the invention of the internet. And all of a sudden, we had Kenneth Copeland everywhere. We had Oral Roberts everywhere. We had Benny Hinn everywhere. We had all these faith healers and name it and claim it, Joel Osteen's. And all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, Christianity got, what would be the word I would use? Christianity got hijacked. And as I sit here today, I don't even really know what Christianity is anymore. I really don't. And there's so many different versions of it. As we said the other day, 42,000 different denominations of Christianity, so many different Bible interpretations. People said the Bible says that I believe it, that settles it. And it's clearly not true. It's clearly not true. The divisions within Christianity itself is, it's appalling, really. It's really appalling. And, you ought to read some of my emails. Not that I care. Not that I care. Some of the emails I get from people, the whole idea that I would, heaven forbid that Coach Dave would talk about books that aren't in the Bible. And not realizing that somewhere along the line, maybe the Bible itself was compromised. Am I allowed to say that? Can I say I'm a Bible believer and at the same time say I think maybe it's compromised, that there are 88 books and you ought to read some of the emails I get from people when I start saying, oh, you're changing the word of God. Wake the hell up, folks. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And if you were the wicked one, wouldn't you try to do everything you could to attack God's word? Wouldn't you try to do that? And who really formed the King James Version? I just know there's the same devil. It's always been the same devil. And maybe they didn't have the internet. Maybe they didn't have telephone. And maybe they had to write everything by pen and quill. And all, maybe they had to do all that stuff. But the attacks of the enemy has never quit. It's never stopped. Ever, ever, ever. The attack is upon God's word. And the application of God's word to our own lives. There is such a thing as truth and lies. Satan, known as, help me out here, somebody, but isn't he known as the father of lies? And then the Bible say that there is no truth in him. Doesn't it say that? I'm pretty sure it says that. There is no truth in him. So when Christianity, whatever you want to call this monster of Christianity, when Christianity got infiltrated, got infiltrated by the evil one, we lost so much truth. Scripture says they changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Help me out here. Does modern American Christianity, blab it, grab it, name it, claim it, slam it, blam it, does it exalt man? Or is it just me? Go to church and you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and your life will be perfect, and God, Jesus died on the cross just for you, and there's nothing you have to do. It's just grace. Just come and receive Christ. And see, whatever you gain cheaply, you esteem lightly. We've lost sight. Stay with me. It's all over me today. We've lost sight of the wickedness of our own heart. We've lost sight of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ himself made, God Almighty incarnate, the sacrifice he made to rescue us from this pit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty, through God, to the pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do we even know how to do that anymore? Did it even teach you? Or do they have seven steps to everything? You look around it. It's kind of my theme I'm going to get to here in a second. Attack on the family. Attack on the family. Hey, come on now. Anybody out there know about, does anybody know any Christian marriages that are failing? Anybody out there know any Christian parents whose children aren't Christian? Anybody else's hearts grieves over the condition of people that they love because of the rejection of the gospel? Could the rejection of the gospel be because, as somewhere in the Bible it says, that it's no gospel at all? Spencer, see if you can find that. It's no gospel at all. And much of what we see going on, in fact, I wonder if I could walk out on the street and take a camera with me. I wonder how many people I could interview and ask them to explain to me the gospel. What is the gospel? No gospel at all. Oh, there it is. Spencer, I'm going to send you $3.28 for catching this. I marvel that you so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. The grace of Christ. At the heart of all Christianity is the grace of Christ. I was a sinner. I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. That's the gospel. Which is not another gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What? Somebody help me out here. When was this written? Was this written before the Vatican? Think this was written before the Vatican? Think this was written before Baptists were Episcopalian? Was this written that it would be another gospel? Jesus warning us? But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, must be other gospels, huh? Must be other ones. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Wow. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Paul's words, not mine. If I yet pleased men, I would not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I don't know if you guys feel this. This is the Holy Spirit. I had no idea I was going to be led to this. For I neither received it of man. What? Never received what of man? The gospel which was preached of me didn't come from a man. For I didn't receive it of a man. Neither did some Tommy Two Shoes in the pulpit teach it to me. No, I learned it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Wow. For I never received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of just Jesus Christ. For we've heard of my conversion conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above, in other words, religious duty and customs and blah, 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 religion, they call that, right? And profited in the Jews' religion, scroll down, Spence, above many, I was above all my equals. I was anyone, nobody, one no better Jew than me, he says. But more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Jesus said, you teach his doctrines, the commandments of men, making the word of God an effect. And Paul said, that's what I was doing. That's what I was doing, the traditions of my daddy. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him amongst those sitting in the church on Sunday morning. Well, wait a minute, no. That's the I said it version. That I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. When the Lord told me to go, I went. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. He didn't go to the big wigs in the church because the big wigs in the church are going to reject him. But I went to Arabia. Huh? And I went to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And I hung out with him for 15 days. But I didn't see any of the other apostles, except for James, the Lord's brother. Time out a minute. I'm not going to look. Words mean things. If Mary was ever virgin, how does Jesus have a brother? But now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. And he goes on and tells of his journey. We live in a time and a place in America. I'm heading somewhere. Stay with me. I don't know if you noticed this yet. Now, let me throw this up there. I'll get you in there in a second, Mel. I don't want to break the flow here. I just want impact. I don't want fame. I don't want the approval of men. In fact, I say a lot of things here that get me a lot of emails that you wouldn't even want to read. I'm not after the approval of man. I'm after what? The glorification of the Lord. And understand that it's through us, believers in Jesus, committed believers in Jesus, that the world's going to be changed. Go ye into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, he said. Is it the end of the age? No, he's still with us, even to the end of the age. And somewhere along the line, we took Jesus Christ, the great sacrifice on the cross for the shedding the blood for the remission of sins, and we turned it into prosperity and happiness and joy in this life. Jesus said, in this life, you, oh my goodness. Be a good cheer, he said, I've overcome the world. Here's where I'm heading today. pull up number five. I don't know. I just want to show you this real quickly. I did a little Google here this morning on my own. Pull up number five, Spence. Did you know they threw me off YouTube? They threw me off YouTube. Yeah, I'm not on YouTube anymore. But I just did a Google today, and I looked down. I've been doing this. Look at all these things on YouTube. Scroll down, Spencer. I've been here a while. Huh? Been here a while. 15 years. 15 years. And we like to measure, unfortunately, in today's culture, in today's society, we like to measure our success by the approval of men. How big's your church? How many people are following you on Facebook? How many people are watching your podcast? When we begin to follow the wrong metric, measurement, we end up in the wrong place. Had a bunch of good football players that could bench press. Oh, they were strong. They could bench press 290 pounds, but they couldn't freaking block anybody. Oh, yeah. Right, Coach Norm? A lot of them. Oh, big as a lion with a heart of a mouse. Some things you can't change, man. Here's where I went ahead today. Oh, man, I got so much. Go ahead, Mel. I feel it. Go ahead before I dig into this.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Coach. Hey, so Spencer, if you can go to the link that I put in the chat, it's the upcoming events. I just want to bring attention to two house-to-house churches that are meeting this week in house-to-house Oklahoma and house-to-house Pennsylvania. So if you're in those areas and if you're interested in meeting up with some people in your state, go ahead and click on that, and any other upcoming events are there. So that's all. Thanks, Coach.
Okay. Thank you, Mel. I saw this video today. Number six, Spencer. Have you guys seen this? Rescue the perishing. Freeze it. Rescue the perishing. This is a video I saw on the internet yesterday of a young man rescuing a boy who got caught in the current. And literally laid down his life to rescue this kid. It's only about a minute and a half. It's a real video. We're called to rescue the perishing. We're called to get into the deep waters. We're called to get into the rapids. Go ahead and play that, Spence. Real video. You get the sound?
Run for your life!
Thank you.
rescue the perishing. That's our call, isn't it? Rescue the perishing. Hmm. I wrote this down today because it grieves me that we do not understand that the attack in America is on the family. It's on the family. I could, right now, if liberty were given to you, I could run off a litany of dozens of marriages under attack, wayward children. All of us sitting around, including Michelle and I, sitting around praying that somebody will go into those waves for us. We throw a lifeline, they don't take it. You guys know what I'm talking about. Marriages, wayward children. Destruction everywhere you look. And it's all happened, really, for the most part, because, I hate to say it, always come back to the same thing. Blab it, grab it, name it, claim it, ineffective, do nothing, church. Christians going to church and their marriages are failing. Christians thought they did the right thing and they have wayward children. Christians who did everything they thought was right and their grandchildren is more lost than a skunk. And it's because the family was God's instrument through which he was going to expand his kingdom. Go ye into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And somewhere along the line, we quit teach. See, we took our children and we put them in secular schools and we told our children, go here and you'll learn everything and go here and you'll learn about God. And we didn't mix the two. And so the kids' children had to make a decision. Were they going to go sacrifice and live their life for God? Or were they going to go get a good education, get a lot of money, happiness, and cars, and homes? And so the church couldn't figure out what to do. So the church said, hey, let's do this. Let's adopt this name it, claim it thing. Let's adopt it. Because people will come to the cross because they get stuff when they come. When they come, they get, my goodness, they're healthy, wealthy, and wise when they come to, see, Not a sacrifice, not a rescuing of the perishing. Church isn't rescuing the perishing anymore, friends. Not engaged, the culture and the society. So I'll pull this up real quick. I'm sorry I've been going on so long here. I'll get you in here in a second. It's important, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit told me to show you this morning. The attacks on the family. What number? Doesn't even have a number. Seven threats of our times. The attack upon the biblical family. Somebody can say amen. You don't say, oh my, it doesn't mean it's you. I'm telling you, the attack on the family. The greatest thing Michelle and I ever did, and we praise the Lord for it, is he put our grandchildren around us. Because the attack's on the family. Why is the family? Okay, this is all good. Go on down, Spencer. Stay right there a minute. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read? Jesus answered, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. Hey, Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it, right? For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. The Christian church winks and nods at divorce. Look, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. There but for the grace of God go I. Word doesn't mean anything. For better, for worse, richer and poorer, sick and self, forsaking others. See, Jesus was responding to a sincere question that was intended to trap him, but it was a question about marriage. So he took him back to the creation of male and female to answer it. And it is in the creation narrative that God reveals his purpose for creating them this way. Adam was to be united to his wife, become one flesh. Malachi reiterates his purpose. Did he not make them husband and wife, one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. Have any idea how many of our offspring have been destroyed by divorce? If we have any idea, we wink and nod. Look, I'm not criticizing about God divorce, okay? Relax. Because I get these emails all the time. Oh, coaching. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. There's forgiveness. Blood. I get all that. But see, the blood of Jesus does not always counter or cancel the consequences of sin. The reason God made male and female was for the purpose of bringing them together into a divine unity, a oneness that brings our thoughts to the unity within the triune God. How about Helen Reddy? I am woman, I am strong. The destruction of the family through feminism. Oh, yeah. Reddy's view, scroll down, please. Reddy's view is one that became ubiquitous throughout our culture today. I am woman, I am strong. It has severed human sexuality completely from the context and design of the family. The prevailing view is that the individual and their sexuality is a private, personal, and fundamental aspect of their identity and has nothing to do with marriage and family. Biblical worldview has no place for this notion. Nowhere does the scripture lead us to think that your human sexuality is the essence of who you are. That would be a boon. Identifying by who we sleep with, really. And when we disconnect human sexuality from its divine context, we then begin to think we can redefine not only marriage and family, but also human sexuality. Ergo, Miley Cyrus can declare that she is a pansexual, believing she can be male or female or anything between, anything she chooses. Men and women, now even little boys and girls, they can declare themselves something other than biological sexuality. We can make up our own personal pronouns, and in the most egregious of examples, get our dads and moms put in jail if they don't address this as such. And why? Because we selfishly declare our sexuality to be the essence of who we are. This sexual disconnect also degrades sex and causes it to descend into nothing more than a commercial product or a casual hookup and nothing more. I can bend it, mold it, use it, exploit it, all for my own pleasure and purposes. Anything, therefore, that attacks humanity's sexuality is ultimately an attack upon the family. Abolish the family, Black Lives, it goes on and on and on. Okay, look. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to play one more thing. I'm going to let you, I want to hear from you. Spencer, I don't know which one it is. It says, go to number five, Coach Dave, YouTube. And I just want you to look at, just scroll down, Spencer, how many old videos are me. There's me with Pete LaBarbera. I've been doing this a while. Okay. Now go back and pull up a trailer, a Spirit of a Pioneer trailer I made 10 years ago, 12 years ago. What's it say on the date on that, Spence? Does it say 15 years ago? And you ask me today, tell me today whether I'm hitting the mark or not. 15 years ago. It's short. Go ahead.
Every problem we're dealing with today is moral. The greatest lie perpetrated upon the church in my lifetime is the lie of the separation between the church and the state. Anybody realize we're about to go someplace ain't nobody ever been? Lord, let the world see a Christian man will not back down. You can't. cannot be afraid of risk. You guys know what an evangelical fish is? The Christian without a backbone. You are the salt of the earth. There's a battle raging. Lord, grant us courage. Rise up, O men of God. I always said, women down, blitz! It's time for you to step up and make a play.
Hey, man, I don't even know where, that's a CD 15 years ago. I don't even know where it is. Huh? Betty says, boom. I agree with you, Benny. I agree with you. Somebody come on in here. I got more, but that's my breath.
Keep going.
Thanks, Chad. Just keep going. Keep going. All right. Bring it. Okay. Bring up number two. You guys don't mind if I go on a monologue here today?
Keep going.
It's deep stuff, folks.
Good, Coach.
Hey, Joe. Quit egging me on out there. Spiritual weapons are faith-based tools given by God to protect, defend, and overcome the schemes of the enemy, including the Word of God, prayer, faith, and the armor of God. By the way, again, I keep looking over here because it's on this monitor, okay? Sorry. So what are our spiritual? Folks, the Scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high and lofty thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity the obedience of Christ. So let me ask you something. How many of you actually, if we know that our weapons are not, weapons of warfare are not carnal, not fleshly, what are our weapons? If they're not carnal, what are they? And if we're going to have victory in a spiritual world, we can't do it with carnal means, right? So they take us into our churches and they put up smoke machines and do praise and worship music, and people go down in the altar and they dance in front of it, and then they go out and live for themselves because that's what it's taught. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, right? That's taken over American Christianity. So what are your spiritual weapons? Do you guys know what they are? I'm going to run down them real quickly, okay? Key spiritual weapons. Number one, Word of God. The Bible is a primary offensive weapon in spiritual warfare. It's described as a double-edged sword capable of penetrating soul and spirit, exposing lies, providing truth to counter the enemy's schemes. Now, you better listen to me. You can pray all you want to. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You can pray those kind of prayers all you want to. They ain't doing nothing in the spirit. You ain't doing nothing in the spirit. The battle's spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, right? So primary, your number one weapon is the Word of God. Do you pray the Word of God over your situation? Or do you tend to agree with your situation? Looks bad. And so I said this the other day, a lot of us spend a lot of time repeating what the devil says to us. When the Scripture says that we're to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Satan, you are a liar. I heard that. I'm taking captive that thought, and I will not repeat what I heard you say, devil. I will not agree with you. It's called the prayer of agreement. Casting down imaginations. And every high and lofty thought. Number one, the Word. Friends, learn to pray the Word. The Psalms, I'm going to get into that here in a second. Thanks, Chad, for giving me permission to do this. Two, prayer and intercession. Prayer is a powerful weapon that engages heaven, disrupts demonic activity, and releases God's will on earth. Persistent prayer, intercession, and supplication strengthen believers, provide spiritual authority. By the way, pray the Word. Pray the word. Pray the word. What does the Bible say about your situation? Not what's going on around you, not what your situation is, not how lost your family are, not how bad your marriage is, not, oh, woe is me, I don't have any money, oh, I'm poor, I'm gone to the poor. Why would you utter those things? Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Number three, shield of faith. Faith acts as a shield to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. It protects believers from doubt, fear, and spiritual attacks, enabling them to stand firm in God's promise. Oh, yeah, you go to the doctor and the doctor says you have cancer. Really? Well, the word says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what it says. So the healing is the children's bread. And then you have the decision and I have the decision of which belief we're going to repeat. Are we going to repeat fear or are we going to repeat faith? And I'm going to tell you this. You can pray with faith as much as you want to. And sometimes the prayer still doesn't get answered because it's God's will. No matter what that is, it ain't about you. It ain't about you. Persecution comes to your life. I'm telling you this. It ain't about you. Oh, it is to a degree. But it's what other people see in you as you go through the persecution. Number four, is that where I am? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus secures victory over sin and spiritual accusations. It is a source of protection, power, enabling believers to overcome the enemy. Do you ever, in your situation, plead the blood of Jesus over your situation? Or you just repeat what the devil's planted in your brain? Oh, I just knew that was going to happen. I've been watching them going, I just knew their marriage was going to fail. Well, there you go. Hell's bells. See, this is kind of an offshoot of the name it, claim it crowd, isn't it? I'm believing for healing, victory. And I don't know about you, my whole life, we had to plow through a defense in order to score victories. There's always somebody to resist you. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Not sit down with him and rub him on the back and let him know how much he's bothering you. And, oh, you're destroying my finances. Why are you giving praises? Oh, huh? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Lord hears your heart. And he hears you speak your heart. And your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. You can, oh man, I could go on. The blood of Jesus, do you plead the blood of Jesus over your situation? When's the last time you pled the blood of Jesus over your marriage, over your wayward children? When is the last time? It's one of your weapons. Do you use it? Or are you too busy moaning and groaning about how much the devil's beating them up? The name of Jesus, declaring the name of Jesus brings authority over darkness. That's why at the end of the prayer we say, in Jesus' name. I wonder how many times you could pray and call out the name of Jesus during your prayer. Every knee bows at his name, and spiritual forces tremble when it is invoked in faith. That's second, Philippians 10. Praise and worship. No. I'm not talking about going to church and they play the music and they lower the lights and they send the smoke machines. No. Praise and worship, thanking God for what you are, invite God's presence, which drives away darkness, confuses the enemy. Biblical examples show that worship can lead to divine intervention in battles. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you, Lord, that I'm an overcomer. Thank you, Lord, that my children are coming into the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Fasting. Fasting strengthens spiritual resolve and breaks stubborn resistance. Certain spiritual battles respond only, Jesus said, to prayer and fasting. You know that, right? This kind comes out, Mark 2, is it Mark 9? This kind comes out only with prayer and fasting. Now, not just fasting, because you can fast just to lose weight. You could say you're on a spiritual diet, but you're fasting to lose weight. Prayer and fasting. I'm doing okay out there? And number 8, the armor of God. Outlined in Ephesians 6. Because the armor of God equips believers with defensive and offensive tools. What? Yeah. So they give you the belt of truth, which gives you discernment and integrity. No matter how much they beat on me, I ain't doing that. Got it? No matter how much they beat me down, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to praise the enemy. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand on the belt of truth, what the Lord says about the situation. We put on the breastplate of righteousness because it protects your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. You better control your tongue. If you want to see what your problem is, simply record what you say throughout the course of a day. And see if you're praising the Lord and invoking the Holy Spirit and the power of the blood of Jesus, or are you moaning and groaning about what the devil is doing? Benny, give me an amen, will you? I need an amen right now. Talking to me. Put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Your readiness to share God's message. How many times you witnessed yesterday? You witnessed anybody yesterday? Any of you? You witnessed anybody? Shield of faith. It's a defense against the enemy's attacks. Yet though they slay me, still will I praise him. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Blessing and cursing coming in out of the mouth. Brothers, it shouldn't be that way. That's all scripture I'm giving to you, right? It's all scripture. And how many of you are following that? How many of you spend more time bitching and moaning and complaining and giving praise to the devil than you do? Well, you put on the helmet of salvation because it protects your mind, your thought life. You take captive the thoughts. And then you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even to the soul and the spirit. The word of God. The word of God. I don't want to get George in here because they're going on and on about the word, all the different translations of the word. And folks, nothing the devil would love to do more than water down the word, because he knows how powerful it is. Have you not read? Scroll down. Additional spiritual weapons include obedience. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Repentance. Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't trust you. I didn't follow you. I didn't do what you asked me to do. Forgiveness. Lord, how about some of you start forgiving some folks out there carrying a bitter heart? Oh, yeah, you are. Your ex-husband, ex-wife. Oh, yeah, that's right. God ain't gonna move in a bitter heart. How about the power of the Holy Spirit? Invoking the Holy Spirit into your situation. Inviting him and declaring the Holy Spirit over your situation. Operating your spiritual gifts. Declarations and decrees. Binding and loosing. Unity, angels, consecration, and the joy and peace of the Lord. These weapons are effective not by human strength, but through reliance on God's power. Wow. So the application. Believers are encouraged to use these weapons consistently. I want to make a list of them for you. Yep. Combining prayer, scripture, faith, and worship to stand against spiritual attacks. Regular encouragement of God's word, fellowship, and spiritual disciplines ensure readiness and victory in spiritual warfare.
Wow.
How can you expect the Lord to forgive you or move in your life if you won't forgive others? Say, Coach, I try. I can't. I just can't forgive him. Well, take it to the Lord and ask him to create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. Cast you not away from your presence and take not the Holy Spirit from you. It's all spiritual stuff. None of which, for the most part, we're being taught in our churches. None. Oh. Say, Coach, you're always criticizing the church. Folks, it's the heart of it. It's the heart of our problems. Our churches aren't. Oh, man. I want to play this video. It's going to take, Neil, come on in. Spencer, this is going to take a while. The only spiritual warfare prayers that actually work. Pull that up and get ready. Come on in, Neil.
What's one thing that we don't have to teach a toddler or a young child? What is one? Can you think of anything right off the top of your head?
Yeah, to be selfish.
Selfish. We never, ever learn how to be not selfish unless we have good guidance from our parents. We carry that throughout our life. We have adults running around the world, 50, 60-year-old people being selfish. I'm more important than you. That is the only cause of divorce in the world.
Wow.
Selfishness.
I'm not happy, right? I'm not happy. Yeah, go ahead.
If you learn how to be selfless, I and the Lord will guarantee that you will have a covenant marriage. If you form your marriage, this just hits my heart so hard, Coach. But
greater love has no man than this world, and he would lay down his life for his wife, for his friends. For
yes, and yes, yes, and we need to learn how to be selfless. I have to go on this little story. There's a couple, young couple that we mentored. They got married last Saturday. She came out of the Mennonite faith, got into this American culture or whatever. We asked them, are they having premarital relations, thinking that they weren't. And I explained it to them like this. I says, God wants you to understand that physical intimacy is the greatest gift that you will ever get from him in your marriage if you treat it right. If we're like little kids at Christmas time and we're looking for our presents that mom and dad hid for us, and oh my gosh, we found them, and we pull a little wrapper back, pull a little bit of the wrapping back, and we look at, oh, that's cool. And next time, well, I want to see more of it, you know, so then you pull the wrapper back more. So he, and you patch it back up with scotch tape.
Yep,
and then
been there, done that.
then Christmas morning comes and you've got this fantastic present, but you already know what it is. Where is the, and that's what God's greatest gift is to us, is the physical intimacy of our marriage. And we blown that to smithereens by going and peeking and looking and tearing the wrapper back and taping it back up, and it's gone on Christmas morning. So I know you want to show your video.
Yeah, I delayed gratification.
Amen. Delayed gratification. Hey, by the way, greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life. It ain't about you, dude. It ain't about you. And as soon as our marriage, Michelle and I have been married a long time, as soon as she makes it about her, we have problems. As soon as I make it about me, we have problems. And you want to see blessing, walk into our home and watch how my wife serves her family. Selfishly serves her family. And we go to church. We serve the King of Kings. And every time we serve the King of Kings, we want a reward for it. Rather than just serving him out of love, rather than out of duty. Phone's blowing up. I'll turn it off. I got 11 minutes. This is I'm going to play just a little bit of this. Put it to 1.5 speed. Spencer, folks, this is your homework. Okay, this is your homework. Hey, I got a strong ego. We all fight that, don't we? I want to be important. We all want to be important. But it ain't about me. I wish I had the crowd of Joe Rogan. I wish I had the crowd of Tucker Carlson. I wish I had the reach of focus on the scamly. Because I believe this, that the message I bring isn't for everybody, but it is a more aggressive, devil-hating Christianity, where we were called to go into all the world and teach them to observe. Call to teach them to observe. We are called to teach them to observe. And most Christianity, sorry, is self-help. How to get healthy, how to get wealthy, how to get wise, how to name it, claim it, and blab it and grab it without any thought of sacrifice. I was thinking yesterday, this is kind of a morbid thought. I can't imagine our family without my wife. I can't imagine. Total, complete self-sacrifice. From the moment she gets up in the morning, how can I serve my family? She's something, man. She is something. Play this real quick, 1.5 speed. We're not going to have time. Went so long. We're not going to have time to watch it all. It is your homework that you would watch this, okay? Go ahead.
Church Matrix has completely lied to you to sell you deliverance prayer books, deliverance ministries, etc. Everything that you need is in the word itself for free, and it's the only thing that actually works. So let me just remind you what you already know, because you have no need that anyone teaches you. You have one teacher that is in heaven, and I'm showing you this because you know the truth, not because you're lacking in truth. So right off the bat, Matthew 6, Satan takes Jesus up onto a mountain. How exactly does Jesus defeat Satan? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Second time.
Look, it's 11 minutes. We're not going to get it all in anyway. Yeah. Okay. So look, talking about weapons of our warfare again. Go make that go back just a little bit. Just go back 10 seconds because we missed the beginning of that thought. Go ahead.
That is in heaven. And I'm showing you this because you know the truth, not because you're lacking in truth. So right off the bat, Matthew 6, Satan takes Jesus up onto a mountain. How exactly does Jesus defeat Satan? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Second time, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Third time, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then the devil left him. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Social media, man-made deliverance prayers. When you pray, go to your Father in secret. Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Don't be like them, because your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You don't need to buy deliverance prayer books, deliverance ministry services. Jesus says, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Don't rejoice in the fact that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now I'm going to give you my favorite prayers to pray out loud, but remember, this is not like a secret formula. You're praying these and like feeling it and thinking about the words that you're saying and believing the promises within them. Modern prayers and man-made sayings will never trump what's literally in the word and given to us. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 27.
Go back there, Spencer. Go back there. Spencer, pull up Psalm 23. We'll put this in the chat. I'm going to let you watch the rest of it. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me. Yeah, I'm telling you, he does. I'm sorry. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Evidently you're going to. evidently you're going to do some walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of it. It looks like death, but it's just a shadow of it. I'll fear no evil. Why? Because he's with you. His rod and his staff. Think about that. They comfort me. His rod, crack. Staff, crack. Keeping you in line, that comforts you. Prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Huh? You got enemies? Yeah. Yeah. And you anoint as my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's behind you. It's not out in front of you. All the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that it? Scroll down. Is that it? Pretty simple, isn't it? Isn't it pretty simple? It's a mind game. It's a mind game. Take captive every thought. Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to walk through the valley. Huh? I'll fear no evil. Why? For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They direct me through the tough times. Mm. Amen. 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 I'm going to say it. Okay, I'm going to say it. So your wife won't have sex with you anymore? Hmm. Did you make a vow? For better, for worse? Not having sex with your wife, that'd be worse, wouldn't it? For better, for worse? Be faithful to her for worse? Laura Ann, come on in.
Good morning. Just hey,
Laura Ann, I didn't mean to be mean to you the other day.
You weren't mean.
Okay,
we're good.
I just want to pop this.
There's not you. You okay. Weren't. I love you.
Amen.
Michelle,
you
don't be mad at me. But I just say, you know, like, y'all mean everything to me. But just real quick, like when you're praying scripture, you can put, it's not, you can, if it's in a third person or where it says, I, you know, walk through the valley. You can put someone's name there. So
that's right. Personalize.
Dr. Paul. As Dr. Paul walks through the valley of the shadow of death.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. That's
Dr.
intercession.
Dr. Paul will fear no evil.
Yes. Pray the word over those you're. Yes. Pray the word. I get it. Pray
right?
the word
so
over
like
those
Dr.
you're praying
Paul,
for.
Like Dr. Paul. Well, you will prepare a table before the enemies. Of Dr. Paul. You know what I mean? You put somebody's name in there. That's when the word becomes flesh and blood. It becomes alive. The word of God becomes there. It's not just like reading, like you might as well just read, you know, Mary had a little lamb, you know, if you're going to approach scripture like that. It's personal. So that's all I have to say, and I'm sorry.
Amen. 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 Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he disciplines, right? Huh, folks? Faith, unyielding, unwavering faith. And can I tell you something? Jesus said, why do you halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If the devil be God, serve him. A lot of us are situational, holding between opinions. We trust him here, but we don't trust him there. We believe him here, but we don't believe him there. Situational faith. Yet, though he slay me, still will I praise him. Y'all in? Y'all in on the devil's team? Hmm? You can't serve two masters. Take authority. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. He gave us the plan. We just got to execute it. See you tomorrow.